Dorothy back in church. And isn't he looking good this morning? Amen. Amen. Those guys that were working on the steeple out here, they were trying to make me feel good. He said, want to know how old I was, and I told him how old I was, told him the truth. And he said, you're not that old. I said, well, that's what my driver's license says. I guess I am. But last couple of days, I don't know if you heard, Monday, I got up and felt like I ought to go out and attack the world. I got my lawnmower and mowed the grass, and I was just mowing everything and carrying on and had a rest. And Tuesday morning, I could not get out of bed. I was thought, what in the world has happened to me? And my wife took my temperature. The first time she took it, it was 100. Next time it was 102. So we called in the doctor in here, and he said, get over to Chambersburg to the Keystone place over there. So we went over there. Every time I got over, it dropped down to 99, about the way I drive my car. By the way, I'm sorry. I was going through a line of cars the other day, and I saw, I don't know if it was you, sitting over on the side. I checked my speed on it. I was a little over, but I was right behind everybody else. So, but anyway, that was my temperature, and it's going up right now after that. But they took my test. They said, they can now test you in 15 minutes. So they test me, and they said, you don't have the flu, and you don't have the coronavirus. We don't know what you have. You got some kind of a sinus infection. So I blamed it on the mowing the lawn, I guess, so I don't have to mow the lawn anymore. Couldn't get somebody else to do that. But I said to God, we've been praying for this healing of my esophagus and all that. I said, God, if I can be a better preacher, do more, get more done, the way I am, I'll live my life however you want me to live it. But you know I want to eat. Tomatoes are in. Mater sandwiches, that's what we say in West Virginia, right? You guys like that too, don't you? But anyway, God's in charge, whatever he wants, and we're going to follow him. Bringing a message today, you know, we're in the book of Romans, and in Romans chapter 1, he showed us that sin begets sin, and each one gets worse. We don't leap into sin, we creep into sin, one step at a time. And then we saw in chapter 2 last week that there's going to be a judgment. Everything will be brought out. Not like what's going on in Washington or other places. And God knows us. And today, he shows us that all of us have sinned. Every one of us. And God doesn't have degrees of sin as far as us being a sinner. He has degrees that he's going to judge. We understand that. But not degrees to sinner. You're either saved, sinner, by grace, or any other kind, or you're a lost sinner, one or the other. You're in one of the two groups. And you don't educate or leap into getting saved. You happen in a twinkling of an eye. You trust him. And then you can sing that song, glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. And may not hit all the right notes, but you know it's in your heart. You know you got Jesus. So that's what we want to talk about today. But the good part about it is God's grace takes care of every single one. There isn't a man in this book, other than the man Jesus, who was not saved, who hadn't made a mistake, who hadn't sinned, and didn't need the grace of God. And we're going to look at a few of them in just a moment. But let's look at our introduction and make sure we're on the same thought wave here. The verse we always use, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all. What does all mean? Oh, yeah. It means your mama, your daddy, your grandmother. I like it when people say to me, well, we're at a funeral and they say, now, if anybody's going to be in heaven, it's my dear old grandma, because she surely was a saint. I said, listen, your grandma was a sinner saved by grace. That's what made her a saint. And if she's not that, I don't care how good she was, she wound up in hell. I'm sorry to tell you that, but we don't put people in heaven or make them a saint because the Pope says so, or because they were so good, or because they never did anything bad that anybody knew about. or told any gossip on anybody or anything like that, right? You're saved or you're lost. A saved sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what the glory of God is? His Son Jesus. And nobody can stand up and say, I'm as good as Jesus Christ. Nobody. There's nobody can do that. Romans 5:20 says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Whoa, Lord, I love that. I was a big sinner. I'm not going to deny it. I did it. I'm not proud of it. I don't talk about it a lot, but I was. But God's grace was sufficient. Where my sins had enslaved me, God took the chains of grace, took His grace and unlocked the chains and set me free. And He'll do the same for anybody else. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Paul slew the church. He said, I wasted the church. He was a sinner. But now I'm a preacher of the gospel by the grace of God, he says. In his Exodus, it says, when Moses, and we'll talk about him a little bit, was called to go preach for God, he said, I don't even know who to tell him sent me. God said, you tell him I am. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. By his marvelous grace, you can be what you are, because God is still that. Let's look at some of these. We don't mention them all, but just to show us, I don't know who your favorite Old Testament character is, but whoever it was, they were just like you and me, flesh and blood. They were all sinners. They had to come by the grace of God. The very first man who looked up into the first breath that he drew, Adam, he looked into the face of God. God created him out of the dust of the earth. He saw God. You would have thought that man would have pursued the righteousness of God from that day forward. But he sinned in the garden. In Genesis 3:17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and thou hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat it all the days of your life. From that day forward, Adam had to earn his living by the sweat of his brow. Before that, his garden was a beautiful job. There was no mosquitoes, there was no thorns, there was no bugs, there were no worms to kill. But he sinned and brought the curse of God alone and all of us. For in Adam all sin, we sin. In Christ all shall live. Everyone has an opportunity to live in him. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. In Genesis 3:21, and Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of sin and clothe them. The very first two sinners was Adam and Eve. And God had to spill the blood of an animal. And then he would put that throughout the Bible all the way through. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sins. When Adam and Eve watched that animal struggle and die and give up its life, one day the Lamb of God would be doing that, struggling on the cross for my sin and your sin, and by grace are we saved. So, don't try to exempt yourself from being a sinner. Some people can't get saved because they can't admit that they're a sinner. You got to admit you're lost before you can be found. You know, people that are lost think they're okay. They spend their whole life justifying that they're all right. Yes, I only get drunk on my birthday and Christmas and other holidays, but I'm a pretty good fellow otherwise. I'm a good father. I'm a good husband. I'm good to my neighbors. Who are you trying to justify yourself to? God says all that is sinful. All of your righteousnesses is as filthy rags. God said, that's all a bunch of pile of dirt before me. And that's all we are, is dirt. You know, and women like to take care of dirt, constantly beating the dirt. You ever notice that? Take the cleaner and beat the dirt out of the house. Somebody's mother-in-law or somebody in Charlotte's family said, the same muddy boots that brought the man brought that dirt in, brought the man in. Think of that. Okay? That's what we're made to do, is beat dirt. Try to beat dirt, right? Think about that a while. Think about Abraham, the father of the Jews. He sinned. And of course, his wife sinned with him in Genesis 16, too. And Sarah said to Abraham, notice how both the wives, they love their wives very much. I always say when God said to Adam, now you've seen my face, I'm going to put you back to sleep without any nurses, without any hospital, without any anesthetic. I'm going to make a woman come out of your body. Wow, how's God going to do that? And the next thing when Adam opened his eyes and saw after God was he saw his wife. And he said, what are you going to call her, Adam? And he said, woman. Right? And he loved her. So he listened to her. Abraham did the same thing. It says, and Sarah said to Abraham, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. She said, God's got behind Abraham. He's a little too busy to get the work done that he promised us he was going to do. He promised he was going to give us a baby. But he's behind. And so we got to help him out. You ever been there, try to do that? God don't need my help in getting me better. God needs to hear my sincere plea. And God's willing to listen to my wishes. But the last line, if it be your will, if it's what you want, and that song that we sang, that's why I like it so much, in God's time, not my time. God has a time schedule, and God's never in a hurry, and he's never late. Martha and Mary thought he was late when their brother was laying in a tomb. One of the sisters chided him and said, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. In other words, where were you? You let my brother die. Hey, people are still on that today. My son was killed in Vietnam. You don't understand. Yes, I do. And God understands. God's the same place when your son, your husband, or whoever died in Vietnam as he was when his son died on Calvary. He's in heaven, ushering in a plan that takes care of it all. Amen. But Sarah was good about telling Abraham how to get it done. She said, I pray thee, This is the man that God's going to choose as a leader. He's listened to his wife. He loved her. Go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah, so he did what he said. Verse 3, and Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, in the Egyptian, and after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he obeyed and listened to that sin the same way that Adam said, oh, that does look like good fruit. I'll eat some of it, Eve. Now, he says, oh, this is a good idea, Sarah. This is a good idea you come up with. And he obeyed her, and she conceived. And when she saw and she was conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Read the whole story sometime. You don't have to watch As the World Turns or some of those crazy movies that people watch on TV. Years ago, when I first became a pastor, I walked up on the door, knocked on the door of a home, was visiting, and a woman coming out, and she was crying. She was bawling. I said, what's wrong? She said, come in, Pastor, I got to get something to wipe my eyes. She wiped her eyes, and she went over and sat down on the couch, and I'm standing there, and I said, what is wrong? What are we praying for? Joe, the sister to brother to sister to somebody died, and I just can't take it. And I said, okay, let's pray for him. And I got down, I was praying, and I said, now who are they? She said, on the television, in the show I'm watching. I said, I'm praying for a television show. It's amazing. We can get moved about stupid stuff, but we can't get moved about real stuff. The real stuff. The real people that's dying. The real people that's hurting. One day, if you go on and read the story, it changes his name to Abraham. And Sarah said to Abraham, because that little boy that she had asked to come, and then God provided her with a son, so she's now got her son Isaac, and she's got Ishmael, her Hagar's son. And she'd watch him play, and she'd watch Abraham play with him. She said, Abraham, come here. Yes, dear. She said, get that woman and that kid out of my house. Now, that's not the way it's written in the King James Bible, but that's my paraphrase. She makes me sick. I've had all I can stand of it, get him out. And Abraham takes a bottle of water and that woman and that child and puts them out on the mountain and says, don't come back. Just like any other modern day story, it goes on, isn't it? Sin begets sin. And we've all sinned. And we've all seen it. Abraham. But God's going to go on and use him as a great man. And use Isaac. And he even uses Ishmael. And when they're over there fighting, the Jews with the Muslims, they can figure out, well, Abraham and Sarah, they made the mess, right? We think about our great leader. You heard me refer to him a lot. David, how he sinned. David sinned. David, God said, was a man after his own heart. Wow. Wish God would say that about me. Man after my own heart. How I love that man, David. The sweet psalmist of Israel, who write the sweet psalms, touch God's heart so much that God said, he's a man after my own heart. David loved his troops. He loved his family. But David made a mistake. He sinned. In 2 Samuel 11:2. Now, let me set you up for the background. David's army is out fighting the Philistines. David is their leader. But David has said, I've built, I've fought, I'm going to take some time off. I'm going to relax. Listen to me this morning. Most people get in trouble with sin when they're not doing what God wants them to do. Because when you start ordering your own steps and ordering your own life, and we all need rest and we all need time out, but if ever we need to rally our troops and fight, it's today. I don't know if you've watched the news. We're in a sickening mess. In a sickening mess. How can we go everywhere but to the voting place? All of a sudden, it's a big chore to go to the voting place. I thought it was a right to go up there and put your name on that vote and check the block and stick it in the box. I thought that was a great privilege as an American. I thought that's what we were. We're Americans, and other countries can't do that. And some have a soldier there with a rifle, and if you got the wrong name, then you got to tear the ballot up. I thought it was a great right. I don't want to send mine on some dumb computer that I don't know if it'll be the same one I sent when it gets there anyway. Oh, when that one didn't work, so I'll send another one. How many did I send? We're in a mess. Do you realize that? We're in a royal mess. And if Trump gets elected, what do you think is going to happen then? We haven't seen hell yet, and we won't see it on earth, but we're going to come close. But it came to pass that in eventide that David arose up from off his bed. Oh, taking a nap. Goes over and looks out the window. What does he see? He walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. The devil always paints sin beautiful. When I had my drinking problems, I'd watch the commercials and they'd be by the grill and have another bud, have a slits, have this. Everybody's happy. They don't show the blood, the wreck, the car wreck, the broken home, the babies kicked out living with grandma or somebody else. They don't show that. Sin always paints this glorious picture. I remember Smirnoff Vodka. I'd see the big sign. It says, it'll leave you breathless. I thought, oh yeah, it does. It kills you. Huh? Isn't that true? Yeah. Oh, you just couldn't handle it. You're right. There isn't a man or woman in the world who can handle booze. I can tell you that right now. David said, wow. What's he say in verse 3? And David sent and inquired after the woman. What's the Lord's prayer say? And lead us not into temptation. David wasn't being led. David was running into temptation himself. He was running. And he sent messengers after he had inquired about her. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? He was one of the mighty men of valor of David's army. A beloved soldier, a powerful man, led one of David's armies for him. So David sent messengers and took her in verse 4. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, and she was purified from her cleanness, and she returned to her house. But the story has one more verse. And the woman conceived, and she said and told David, and said, I am with child. Uh-oh. We never counted on this. You know why we have abortions? Because of sin. Sin begets sin. Sin begets sin. If you don't want to have a baby, then you don't get in the back seat of a car or a hotel room or someplace else with a man, because that's going to wind up that way. But we're going to, and people say, oh, don't be so graphic. It's about time we're graphic. You know how many millions of babies we're killing? And if I was the black people and Black Lives Matter, do you know the majority of them are black? I'd be concerned about that, wouldn't you? And I'd be concerned about that guy that doesn't have a job and had my daughter pregnant, and now he gets to go away and she's trying to have it aborted. Shouldn't we be concerned about that? Is this sin? Or is this just a picture of life's other side? We need to see it God's way. But, you know, we've talked about Adam. We've talked about Abram. We've talked about David. Do you know what took care of their sin? Grace is not a blue-eyed blonde. Grace is God's love that forgives our sin. God forgave Adam. He didn't throw him away. He didn't get rid of him. He didn't get rid of Abram. He didn't say, okay, go to plan B. He didn't say, okay, David, I'm done with you. He said, he's a man after my own heart. Come here, David. David knows how we tremble and hurt after sin. God's grace. Solomon, you would have thought being a child from that woman. By the way, the story goes on and on. It's too long for right now. You've heard it before from me anyway. But you know that he had Uriah killed in battle because he tried to bring him in from battle, which he did, and tried to get him to sleep with his wife so he could think it was his child. He not only committed adultery, he deceived and lied and covered up, and now he's going to have him killed, as one of his favorite generals. What kind of man is that? What kind of man is that? God forgave him. God forgave him. Where we can't forgive, God does. And you'd have thought that same woman will be Solomon's mother. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zionites, the Hittites. He covered all the bases. He got them all. In our wars, in World War II, not so much today because we have women in battle, I guess. I don't know how it goes, and they do abortions for the women. But I can remember World War II. bringing back the Japanese and the German brides. And then we had to put up a temple, a Buddha for this one. Well, that's what David had to do. It says in verse 3, and he had 700 wives, princes, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Notice verse 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was his heart was in his father. Same sin that got his dad got him. Only magnified much more. Much more. But did God throw him away? No. God's marvelous grace. Some lesser known, maybe. John the Baptist. Think about John the Baptist. What a powerful man. Jesus said, there isn't a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he was in prison. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. And when John had heard in the prison, the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? He started doubting. Many a night, when I'm awake and pray about my condition, the devil's laughing at me. There's no God, you stupid old man. There's no God coming to take care of you. You're just going to die like a dog. That's all it's going to be. Go ahead and die. Get it over. Quit dragging so many people in this. You're just going on. When you get close to things like that, the temptation is great. So he sends back and says, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John the Baptist doubted. He was there because he preached again the very thing I was preaching again, adultery. About Herod having his brother's wife. They told him to shut up, and he wouldn't shut up. He kept preaching it. So put him in prison. Thought it would shut him up. He preached it there, I guess, because finally had his head. Think about Peter. Our time's quickly getting away. Let's move along here. Peter denied him. And not many days after he denied him, Peter will preach one of the greatest sermons and 3,000 souls will be saved. What made that happen? The marvelous grace of Jesus Christ. God didn't give up on him. Peter, you were my lead disciple. You were the leading one. In John 18:15, when Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple, which was John. And that disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out the other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her and kept the door and brought in Peter. Verse 17, then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He said, I am not. How many times do we say it in a different way? Oh, I know you. You go to church. Well, I don't agree with everything they do at the church. I just go there because some of my friends go there. You just denied him as sure as Peter denied him. They even said to him, Peter, in another one of the Gospels, they said, you are one of them because you have the same language, the same talk. And the Bible says that Peter stamped at the fire and cursed. What did he take care of that from then till the day of Pentecost when 5,000 or 3,000 souls? He had the marvelous grace of God. God will take any man, any woman, any person that is saved and use them for his glory if you're willing to do what he wants you to do. And he never gives up on us. He never quits on us. He never stops on us. He never says it's over. He just keeps right loving us and forgiving us. Closing verse I want to share with you this morning. Please mark it sometime in your Bible. John chapter 1, verse 16. And of his fullness, whose fullness Jesus Christ. Everything that he's got, he invested in me and you. And of his fullness have we all received. And grace for grace. He saved us by his grace. And listen to me, he's keeping you by his grace. You may think sometimes when you disobey him and he's wearing you out with his discipline that he don't love you, but that's because he does love you. We grew up in a generation when kids don't understand real discipline is love. You don't love me, you beat me. Because I do love you. Because I do love you. It's my grace. The same hand that chastens us is the same hands that spilt their blood that I might be saved and that you might be saved. Amen? Why am I preaching all this? Because it's where we're going in the book of Romans. But really, because we need God's army to stand like we've never needed it. We need to be vocal. We need to be loud. We need to be often. We need to do more. We need to keep pushing as hard as we can because something's going to happen. I hope the Lord comes back, but I'm not sure he will because I've preached for 50-some years since I started that America is way overdue for a whipping. This pattern is America. One sin led into another. Each sin gets bigger. And now we're to the place that we're begging on heathen powers to support us. When we stood as one nation under Eisenhower, one nation under Ronald Reagan, one nation, and this man now is trying to call us one nation. No, we got to have this, and we got to have that. We're spending money like we never had, never will have. We're in big, big time trouble. We need God. Let's stand for prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, you used Abraham, Adam, David, Solomon, John, Peter, all those men. Lord, we've got men in this church. We've got ladies in this church. We see from some of those stories that some of those men were influenced greatly by their wife because they loved them. A man that loves his wife wants to listen to what his wife has to say. What a great responsibility that wives have not to give false or erroneous information or be a hindrance, but to be a support. God, we need to build a church again and make it great again that we might reach a lost world till Jesus comes back. As the music plays this morning, the altar's open. Maybe you want to pray for a son and a daughter, for their home. Maybe you want to pray for your own. Maybe God's pecking at your heart's door. Maybe he's asking you to do something for him. And you're having a struggle with the decision whether you could really do it. Listen, God will never lead you where he will not provide for you. Whatever it is, money or a voice or a commitment, whatever, God will give it to you. But if he's calling to you, decisions can be made at the altar. We open up the altar right now. Maybe you want to pray for your pastor. Maybe you want to pray for the church. Maybe you want to pray for your family. Maybe you want to pray for your school. Maybe you want to pray for our children. Maybe you want to do that. While we wait a few moments, if you want to move, move. The altar's open. While we're waiting, would you say this morning with an upraised hand, I'm a child of God. I know I'm saved and going to heaven. You're sure you're saved. God bless you. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Hodge, I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. But I want to be. But I'm not sure. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? Pray for me. I'm one of those. I want to be saved, but I'm not sure. Dear Lord, you know the heart of every man, every woman, every child in this building. Lord, speak to us. Use us as a church for Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a few verses of our invitation number. The altar is still open for you. 476 is your all on the altar. Thank you.
sweet peace, and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest, or be perfectly blessed, until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest until unwound in your body and soul. You would walk with the Lord in the fire of His Word and have peace and contentment always. You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as yield in your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings from which we have prayed. Till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? Sweet rest as you yield your body and soul. Who can tell the love He will send from above? How happy our hearts will be made. Oh, what fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet when we're all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Is the heart, does the Spirit control? You can know and peace and sweet rest as you yield in your body and soul.
Amen. Are you glad you came to church this morning? Amen. You know, the Bible speaks a lot about music and singing, and I've preached without music, but it's much better when, and we've had beautiful music. You think the music was good today, overall, everything? Amen. How about a hand of applause for those two right there for doing that? I appreciate everything you do. Appreciate you being here and singing. We had beautiful singing in here this morning. Be back tonight, okay? Let's look to the Lord and be dismissed. Brother Ed, would you have our closing prayer, please?